Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
On March 16, 2011, the Commonwealth Transportation Board discussed the Virginia Department of Transportation's revenue sharing program, which will experience some changes in fiscal year 2012. Charlottesville Tomorrow's recording begins with Michael Estes, Director of the Local Assistant Division for VDOT.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, all members of the board. If I could, Mr. Chairman, before I jump into revenue sharing, if you would allow me to talk about transportation enhancement just very briefly. Just want to make sure the board members knew that you have one packet in front of you today going through our normal process. We've worked with the district members, and I want to thank the district representatives for working with either your district administrators or with my staff on the tentative selection. And we'll reach out to the at-large members very shortly to schedule something, hopefully in April, to work through those selections as well. So I just wanted to kind of acknowledge that before I jumped into...
Mike just tells Shep that because he missed this meeting, he's not getting his L.
I'll ask Mr. Lane to communicate that message.
He's in Cabo. I'll be happy to get it to
him. All right, switching gears, sir, if I could jump to revenue sharing. Again, the enhancement side, not the confusion, is the federal program that is for non-motorized type improvements. Revenue sharing is that state-funded, kind of state-funds-only program that we've been talking about quite a bit. And just want to give you a quick update and talk to you about some aggressive plans we have with the program based on the General Assembly changes that happened recently and what we expect to see. I won't go into great detail on the first couple of slides. You've seen it before. You know, as a reminder, back last fall, we set out a tentative request for letters of intent to the interest that we got back last fall, and summarized in the next slide on the table. Basically, we saw a response for about $45 million worth of requests before the General Assembly session came into town. The big news was the legislative changes that came out of the session, or we expect to come out of the session, parallel to, again, the governor's transportation plan and the large bills that Mr. Lawson referenced earlier. The big highlight, again, was increasing the opportunity to bring funds to the program. Prior to that, we had a maximum of $50 million per year. As you heard last month, the anticipated allocation for FY12 is still at the $50 million level. It also allows localities to request up to $10 million now. The prior maximum was $1 million, and we'll talk about that a little bit more here in just a minute. The tier, which I know a lot of you have heard about before, those were actually stricken out of the law and basically says that priority will be given to projects that accelerate projects in either a six-year improvement program or a locality's capital improvement program. And the reason I'm in front of you especially today is that it also specifies that the CCD is going to play a more, I'd say, extensive role in the guidelines on how those funds are allocated. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
The anticipated FY12 allocation at $50 million is based on, what's it based on?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Keene, I believe the initial base was, you know, on the previous letters of intent, we had under $50 million. So I believe that's why Mr. Lawson has budgeted that $50 million for FY12.
Is it possible, Mr. Chairman, to take a look at that and consider an adjustment?
Sure. Yes. How much?
Well, I think it's the difficulty, Mr. Chairman and Dr. Davis, will be on timing, and we're going to aggressively move out with the formal application call immediately and see what we get from a formal response with the new changes.
Yeah.
So we're not exactly sure what the dollar amount is going to be.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not suggesting we cut that amount that's unreasonable, but I think this program is so effective that if we got 100 million requests, I think we had 200 million authorizations, we ought to seriously consider trying to fund as much of that as possible. That's my only thought.
Yeah, no, and this was the intention. The problem we're going to face is one of the reasons we were asking for these letters of indication early, so that in the development of the six-year plan, we could end up setting aside that pot of money for that. The problem we're going to face is July 1st, the new changes will go into effect, which would be passed when we'd end up passing the official plan. And so, I mean, I think we'll take a look at it, but my recommendation would be we stick with the $50 million, because we got $45 million in letters of indication.
Yes, about $46 million.
And then for the next six-year plan, it's really truth it much earlier, essentially get much stronger, develop a process that for the next six-year plan, we can actually go to the full swing.
The only suggestion is, Jim, I certainly would defer to you and the staff for knowing what might be the best approach as far as meeting the deadline, but being able to fund more than $1 million, when you look at the project, if they come in, and the locality's putting up $2 million on a $5 million project, I would think in some cases it might be wise to look at our allocation and make some adjustments. But I agree that probably taking it to $100 million without knowing what the requests are might be difficult.
Well, I mean, nothing said. I mean, we'll still have the final trigger, I mean, or decision on it.
Mr. Chairman.
And it is this issue about maybe trying to get the indications with the higher limit per project limit and seeing what's available, and then we'll have to make a decision when we get closer.
Yes. Even at 50 million, we don't have indications that we're going to have applications that would rise to the level of 50 million. So there's a question in my mind, it's such a great program with potential of 400 million going into projects out there. Much of it is redoing some secondary roads where we really need, where there's no money coming, which we really need help. I know we have to have an oversight, but this is a reimbursement program. And I have heard some rumblings, if you will, from the localities on, you know, it's real difficult to do this project, to put all this money up front, wait for reimbursement, and then have difficulty in getting some of your funds reimbursed. And so I think there's been some that have had the grumblings of slow payments and so forth. I just wondered if we need to take a look at this to, in some way, enhance that part of it in administering the funds, and maybe even consider the funds like up front 25% award to get this project moving. I know we have to have oversight now. It wouldn't require that much more oversight to just go ahead and advance 25% of the contract. Certainly tied to some type of reimbursement agreement, so forth. And maybe at some phases of it, advance another 25% at fixed protection placement and so forth. But holding back, making sure that we don't just grant all the money and let them spend it. But I think there's an enhancer here that we could utilize by getting the money into these people's hands, and they can move the project forward really quickly. Because it's difficult to raise the money out there in some of these counties sometimes, and people want to take advantage of this, and they just can't twist it out of their budget. So I think if we take a look at that, we might enhance this program even more.
Mr. Estes, how much of that is statutory versus our policy?
Mr. Chairman, the difficulty is we handle the finances a little different depending on whether the locals are doing the project themselves or whether VDOT's doing the project. If VDOT's doing the project, we do require the locals to send us the money up front. I don't know if that's what Mr. King is concerned about, is we're requiring that full match up front before we begin the project. And I think we could look at, especially as we grow the matching requirement, you know, our primary focus is to make sure we can pay our bills before administering the project and we have that cash flow in hand. So we can look at that, I think. Now, when it comes to a locality administering the project, they simply just, they do spend the money, and then they have to provide the match. They bill us, basically, for half the work. It's a 50-50 type program. So they'll spend $100, they'll bill us for $50, and that type of thing.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. President.
Michael, I have a question for you. Once the governor signs off on the program next month, Will there be a new letter going out to the localities telling them, hey, here's some new criteria, this is what you can do now to prompt
yes.
more applications?
Great question, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Garvin. Our plan, depending on kind of how the rest of this conversation happens, is I plan to send them a letter today or tomorrow. And like I said, aggressively try to move forward to having something for the board in May so you'll know where we stand on requests.
Yeah, because, you know, going back to your point, I mean, the universe of projects go up potentially exponentially when you look at $10 million per project versus $1 million. And actually, I personally, the $10 million per project is great because you can get some real projects done. So let's just see where it is. I mean, I it's going to be difficult for the commissioner and for Mr. Lawson and Ms. Buescher to kind of put this all together because, you know, you all are already working on the six-year plan and how everything's going to fit. So let's see how quickly you can get the medications.
Yes, we'll talk timeline a little bit more in just a second, too.
Chairman, I think it's a good opportunity for the commissioner and Mike to look at this, too, the staff. To figure out how to help get money out and take advantage of the low rates and the low cost right now.
Yeah, the only thing is that, I mean, obviously, as you know, I mean, we want to get the money out, but it also that the money that we use for this comes out of other potential projects. But we definitely want, I mean, this is the whole reason we wanted some of these. We originally wanted to have this program unlimited, but the General Assembly did not support that.
I think that's a key point, Mr. Chairman, you're making, too, is wherever the board decides on the allocation, it's basically kind of somewhat of an off-the-top allocation, so something other program would have to then be reduced accordingly. I think that's been some of the discussion in the debate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, yes, Mr. Rich. Are these projects 100% secondary and 100% urban, essentially?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Rich, I would say the high percentage is going to be secondary and urban. There are on a few occasions where a locality may decide that it's a priority to put something on a primary or something else, and if they have that flexibility. But I'd say the lion's share is going to be a local road network type stuff.
Ms. Coleman.
Justice, can you give us some indication broadly of what the local match of this is? You've given us what is expected from VDOT, $45 million. Is it equal to $45 million, or is it more than $45
million? Mr. Chairman, the school may, it will be at least that $45, $46
million.
Usually they're going to, it depends on the project and also the cost. Sometimes localities are going to put in more than that to make sure that project comes to fruition. So it's we'll know when we bring the formal approval in June, I can give you the exact number because that number will be on the application from the local government. Okay, if I could just, I'd say the biggest thing I would like to have a little bit more conversation with the board is going to be this next slide. I know it's a lot of text, but it really deals with the guidelines that we're going to be hopefully bringing back to the board. That's, again, the new change in legislation has asked the board to create guidelines. And really this, there'll be other things in the guidelines, but I believe this is the meat right here. And this is about how we approach a scenario where we have, say, $50 million allocated, but we have more than those in requests and so forth. And it's our proposal to the board that we fund all the allocations that we can up to the initial $1 million first before we consider funding allocations above the $1 million. I would just quite frankly tell you that some of that is to protect some of the smaller communities around the Commonwealth to make sure that they get a crack at the pot first before we get into some of those bigger projects. So the plan would be to, we'd look at the request up to $1 million. We've adjusted our application that we'll be sending out to our local governments. We'll basically look at what can, they'll be providing us information of what can you do up to $1 million, and then if you want more than that, what can you do with that $1 million to $10 million range? So we'll have that information to present to the board. So I won't go into that with any great detail, but that's the nuts and bolts of the intent and what we'll be presenting to you. It'll be the major change in the existing guidelines. And then when we get to the request over $1 million, we'll be looking at obviously the legislative mandate that says we'll be prioritizing those projects that the locals say that can accelerate that are in the six-year plan or the capital program. And quite frankly, we're looking for the locals to tell us that they can deliver these projects over a short turnaround. We don't want to get into another situation where we're putting a lot of funds on projects that may be sitting for years. So we're looking for that in the application process as well. And depending on the dollar amount of the allocation, the number of requests we get over that $1 million, we'll put in some latitude in the guidelines that we can come to the board with a staff recommendation for how to address that. Traditionally, we have prorated all requests equally, and sometimes that ends up spreading a little bit of money over a lot of projects. So we want some of that flexibility. We want to have that discussion with the board at that appropriate time.
Mr. Chairman, that's where I'd like to add to have the discussion as well about the possibility of adding some money to the program this season.
Yeah.
That's
Mr. Chairman. One concern I have about the $1 million versus the $10 million, if because of the definition of some roads in the Commonwealth as secondary as opposed to what they should be, are we getting as much traffic relief or traffic advancement by precluding the bigger projects where they're really needed just for the sake of equity, perceived equity all the time? That's the concern I have with our responsibility is trying to make the Commonwealth's transportation system as efficient as it can be.
That's part of the argument.
Yeah.
It is the argument. I don't know that I probably want to answer the question, Mr. Kaczynski, directly, but I think it is some of the debate we want to hear from the board.
We need to have that discussion, in all fairness, to everyone on the board.
And the approach in front of you is to ensure equity amongst the Commonwealth, amongst the local government, who are able to come up with some allocation. I'll give you examples. There are some localities across the Commonwealth that would love to participate in this program, but quite frankly, they want to put up $150,000 a year. And that's all they can put up. And we're trying with this approach to make sure that county, that rural county can get that $150,000.
That was Mr. Keene, I think, was pointing out. Okay. So I can buy that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else?
Yes, sir. Timeline, real quick.
Before you leave that chat, it will be review criteria for additional funding. Is there a process where we're going to establish some guidelines here that we need to have some input on? And what's that process going to be like?
Great segue, Ms. Keene, to the next slide. What we're going to do is we're going to put the meat of what you saw in that previous slide in a set of guidelines, and we're going to email it to you by April 1st. And what we're going to do is come to you back in the April board meeting and hopefully ask you to adopt those guidelines. Because, again, we're going pretty aggressively because we want to put the call for applications out now so we can try to get this on board with our process for the beginning of fiscal year 12. We want to put that money in the local hands as soon as possible.
Pursuant to that, when you put out those guidelines, can you then share back to the board the consensus comments of the people so we know what our brethren are saying before we come to the April meeting about this criteria? I'm interested to find out what Mr. Lauerbach and Mr. Keene said about the criteria and not find out about it the day before we come back in April. So we can start to build a consensus.
Mr. Kaczynski, I think we can easily do that. It will be obviously some pretty tight timelines, but we'd be more willing to get that and share that with everyone. We'll send it out by the first, put a week or so response on it, and I'll share the responses with the full board.
Great.
All right, so I think I've hit this one enough, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Askew, thank you very much.